Was this easier? Or was this a little bit more challenging to talk about? When you're talking about the internet world, is this a little bit easier or a little bit more challenging than talking about Orthodox life?
Easier.
Very challenging.
Very challenging?
It's just different.
It's different. Okay.
Mother Melania said, well, you realize that there are going to be some people there that don't get on the internet. I said, yeah, but hopefully, I think we've all been touched by it. So what kind of associations do you have with the internet world in which we are supposed to be living this Orthodox life of ours? Yes, please.
Information. I should say information, both accurate and inaccurate. True or false?
Yeah, I'm trying to decide. No, we don't have much time. Yeah.
Internet is an objective reality without our input, much input sometimes.
Objective, okay, reality.
It's a very subjective part of the internet.
Without our
much
input. Okay, and how is it subjective, Mother?
Well, whenever there's some controversy or something, you've got, 20 people with 20,000 views. It's just everyone has their own idea of something. And, like sometimes, like on Wikipedia, somebody's got an axe to grind, and they'll give a definition, and give a, talk mm-hmm. about something, and then someone has to correct it.
Mm-hmm. It's subjective. It's largely unfiltered.
Yeah.
ERED. I say it's largely unfiltered, but we do a lot of self-filtering. Because if you were to get on my phone, you would see the sites that I look at. And I go to two sites for news. I go to one site for weather. This morning I woke up. Huh?
Where do you go for baseball?
The Contra Costa Times. This morning I saw on Facebook that there was a gun on the or a shooter on the campus of MIT. I don't know if that's true or not. I went to CNN, which is on my phone. CNN didn't have anything about it. I don't know if it happened or not. Because, I didn't turn on TV. So, in a sense, it's without our input. It just told me, boom, a shooter at MIT campus. Subjective reality, I looked at the three or four sites that I always look at, and there was no news. Largely unfiltered. I don't know what happened. Someone, especially Facebook, it's like there are these things. Bill Cosby. His death has been announced three or four times on there. He hasn't died yet. Because it's largely unfiltered. So I love this. I love these three comments together because it is so much a part of our life. We don't know. And you know what? It's kind of a characteristic of life today. Oh yeah, you know what I heard? I guess there's always been that. As long as there have been humans talking. But now, through Twitter, through Facebook, we get this a lot more. What else? Yes. Oh, you're anxious.
About the positive side of the internet for the Orthodox life, I would think, and I know personally a priest who has a chat room, and he used it to convert Muslims, and preaching them about Christ, and how is their Quran compared to the Bible.
Yeah, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say, because this is part of the information, and you've got your accurate information, and it allows for education and evangel. Education and evangelism. I mean, honestly, it is fantastic because with just a few minutes' work, you can find saints' lives, no problem. With very little problem, you can find hymns, you can find services. Very little problem, you can
Holy Fathers.
Absolutely, you can find patristic writings. If you're linked up to the right networks, you can get all kinds of great books and a lot of books that have been out of print for a long time. So this is sort of the good information. Something else that you can do? Yes, please.
Oh, we can do, but facilitates communication.
Yes. It's changed the way. How has it changed the way?
Well, my sister's always laughing because when we were in Southern California, I used to email Mother Victoria across the hall because I would remember things at 3 a.m. You know, and I'd email her at 3 a.m. because I was going to forget.
You know? Yep. Yep.
It's destroyed English.
Oh, there you go. But it has helped people who can't spell.
Yes. Two things about this. Facilitates communication. I know that I've got all kinds of Facebook friends from all over the place. And I know that when big storms happen, within a few hours, I will know if the church is flooded or if the church is safe. I know that they need help in a certain place. They've got some great new things where you hear about a disaster. I can go on my cell phone. I can just do it like that, and I've sent a donation to the Red Cross. Or IOCC takes donations, and I've done that on my phone. So it's facilitated those kinds of things. It's changed communication. Just this morning, there was something on public radio. A woman was saying that she needed to borrow a phone charger from her neighbors, but her internet was down, so she didn't know how to get in touch with her neighbors. And then her mother said, "Well, when I was in that situation, I would walk across the street and knock on the door and ask to borrow something." So it has changed the way we communicate. Yeah.
Well, like, there's a difference between me and my children, where my communication, I kind of filter. Does this mean, you know, I can send an email? Does this mean that I need to have a phone conversation? Or do we need to get together and talk over a cup of tea? You know, I sort of, you know, different kinds of conversations can do, you know, fit in different places and do different ways. But for my children, what's the problem, Mom? Send them a text, you know? Same content, doesn't matter the format. So it seems like for them it's really changed that there's not that filter of how anymore, that the quality of the connection for them seems the same.
Yeah, like I said, I'm national chaplain for the fraternity, so I have lots of interaction with undergraduate guys, and it's very interesting. They say that older people, that's me, tend to send private messages, whereas younger people, that's them, tend to send public messages so everyone can see it. There's a little bit of exhibitionism is now in vogue, and that's changed things. I was at a church, and we were having a very animated discussion about whether the church should do text messages or not. Some people said, no, don't do text messages. It's evil. But it was decided that for certain things it's important. And so it's decided for emergencies, text messages are good. So that if someone has passed away in the parish, to let everyone know as soon as possible, this is when the funeral is going to be and this is where it is. That's a good thing. People say, oh, it's too impersonal. Well, you know what? A text message might be impersonal, but it might be, you know, I'm not going to call up the phone. I'm not going to call you on the phone at 3:30 in the morning to say, oh yeah, remember we have to pull, you know, the casserole, the lasagna out of the freezer so it thaws out. But that's a perfect thing for a text. But it makes us think about, I guess this is a positive thing, it makes us think about what we're trying to say and the best way to communicate it. So something that is a problem can become a good thing.
I was hoping you would address some of the temptations on the internet and how to, I have teenage boys, 3 of them, how do you deal with that?
You unplug the computer. Great. You know what?
Edge in that direction.
Yeah, okay, good. Anne's going to talk about that.
Okay.
But St. Nicholas Kabatsilas actually has something to say about that, too. Good. Believe it or not. I think he does. One of the things, because look at this. Time is flying and I'm talking. Seriously, I could talk for another 4 hours. It's a gift. One of the things about the internet age is we've got this information, but we've always got, you can't see it, you've got your little light beeping at you, saying, hello, you know, that whole sort of you've got mail sort of a thing. We've got all kinds of sites that are demanding our attention. It's like, hello, I have something new for you. We buy online. One of the worst things in the world, for me, personally. Talk about temptation. I've got an Amazon app on my phone. And all I have to do is put in a title or an author. It pops up and I hit the boom, buy it, and it shows up on my doorstep in 2 days. It's the most amazing thing in the world.
Or on your phone in 5 seconds.
No, I don't do that. No. It has to be ink on paper. Or it's worthless. But we lose touch. Sometimes we run the risk of losing touch with the physical, with the other people. Money doesn't mean anything because it's just transfer money. Sometimes we lose that. We lose the chatting with someone in the checkout line. We miss the contact. And so it's created a whole new sort of social situation. It's created a whole new information situation. There are people, and I know of these people, who are good, pious, Orthodox Christians, and they will spend hours and hours and days on the internet, on YouTube, looking at chanting. And it's like, chanting. It's like a choir from here, a choir from there, chanting, 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 and then they feel like they have to load it up to Facebook and send it out to all their friends. And it's like, chanting and prayer are good, but I wonder about the wisdom of just sitting there and watching videos of it over and over and over. A good thing can turn into a bad thing. I think that's one of the nice things about Orthodox spirituality, because we talk about the passions, and you can talk about blameworthy passions and praiseworthy passions. So you've got the blameworthy passion of greed, and you've got the praiseworthy passion of wanting more and more contact with God. You've got the blameworthy passion of anger, and you've got the praiseworthy passion of being angry at our sins. So, you know, it can be for the good, it can be for the bad. And I think a lot of times in the internet world, we have a lot more of these sorts of choices to make. And we have to prioritize. And we're just inundated
with all of these
things that are just screaming at us. And each one of us tells us that it is the most important thing in the world. And once you sort of get obsessed with these things, it's like, well, I have to go on Skype and see if any of my friends are on Skype. I have nothing to say to them, but if they're on, we'll chat. it's like, oh, let me get on the news to see if anything has happened. Well, you just checked the news 5 minutes ago. I think if something significant were to happen, you would hear about it. It's just there's so much out there, and it's all just vying for our attention. But this is the thing that brings us back. We have to remember our call and our vocation. St. Peter wrote, "As he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in all your conduct. For it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy." It's very interesting. He didn't write, "You shall be well informed." He said, "You will be holy." Didn't say, "You shall be accessible to any and everyone." It says, you shall be holy. Oh, remember how it destroyed English? I had Mrs. Bannister for 7th grade English. She taught me my English. I'm thankful for her every day. You shall be holy. We had to stand up and recite conjugations in front of class. I shall, you will, he, she, or it will. We shall, you will, they will. And that's the proper conjugation. And if you say you shall, that's very important. So it's not you will be holy, it's you shall be holy. And so this is, remember on this list, high bar for orthodoxy? That's our high bar. That's our high bar. It's a command.